So last week we began discussing the life of Jehu, can you remember?
Imdadullah.
Haji
Imdadullah.
Imdadullah. Name was Imdadullah. Hajjis means made hijrat, immigrated Makki from Makkah to Makkah Mukarramah. So last week we read about his spiritual chain to Miyaji Nur Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali, where we can see also our great, great, great Dada Sheikh Miyaji Nur Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali. Then Hazrat says after that he moved to Makkatul Mukarramah. It was in the year 1294 AH, now in 1446, corresponding to 1877, when a few devoted murids bought Hazrat a house in a place called Harul Bab, which they built and gifted to Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He settled down in this house and lived in it until his demise. Then his marriage, the Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh remained a bachelor for 50 years. He remained a bachelor for so many years. They would stay with the mashayikh only, 17 years, 20 years. He then received a suggestion from the unseen that marriage is sunnah muakkada. Therefore, everything they did was because it was a sunnah, because it was a teaching of Sharia, and it should not be abandoned. Some of his murids had also been persisting so that Hazrat could experience some rest in his worship and other activities. A woman by the name of Bibi Nuran, who was the wife of Sayyid Haider Ali Muhajir Banasri. So she was the wife of Sayyid Haider Ali, who was also Muhajir Banasri, got Hazrat married to her granddaughter, Hazrat Bibi Khadija Bintu Haji Shafa'at Khan Rampuri. Her name was Hazrat Bibi Khadija. You must have kept the name like that, Hazrat Bibi Khadija, daughter of Haji Shafa'at Khan Rampuri, whose parents had passed away. This was on 21st Ramadan he got married. 21st Ramadan he got married in 1282, corresponding to 7th February 1866. Alright, so the house they built for him was 1877. They got married in 1866. The dowry was set at 120 rupees. She did not bear any children and passed away. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali entered into a second nikah. He then entered into a third marriage towards the latter part of his life. It was one quite old and weak and needed someone to support him when sitting and standing. He did not want any strange woman to touch him, so he felt the best thing to do was to get married. Get a helper. You won't feel comfortable, for example. Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali did not have any children, but the East and West is still inhabited by his spiritual children to today. Then we started there. That was his life story, more or less. Then we discussed after that his statements. So amongst them, so this is what we were discussing, the Malfuzat of Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummah Thalmi Rahmatullah Ali quoted many useful statements, Malfuzat, of Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Imdadul Mushtaq and Kamalat-e-Imdadiyya, two kitabs Hazrat Thalmi had written, Rahmatullah Ali. If you will read those Malfuzat we send on the groups every now and then, Hazrat Thalmi, you understand how deep his thinking was. Now he understood things, such a sound mind he had, that he would say also towards the end of his life, he says, Alhamdulillah, with the fazl of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed me so much of ilm, knowledge, nuraniyat, that if anybody has to ask me any question in Sharia, I can answer them. I can answer them. Together with that, he would say that as I moved on in spirituality and ilm, many things I didn't understand. Akabir were doing, seniors were doing, or they said, so to say, youngsters say, it don't make sense. So in his mind also, he says, it didn't click to me, so to say. So he would say, in other words, you will say it, I had like a filing cabinet. Things that I understood, I filed it away there. Mafhoom, understood. Things I didn't understand, put in another filing cabinet. And I left it there without any objections, without any conflict. I kept it there. And I understood that as time goes on, things will open up. Right? You find in a worldly life also, a lot of things now. Look back 25. I always tell the youngsters also, don't think you too clever. Now you might be 18 or 20, look back 5 years ago, the things you must have said or did that time, I think, what a Charlie I was. But I thought I was clever at the time. I thought I was sharp. Sitting all the big men, you know, I said a few things and I thought I was hot. Now you look back, you say, yes, you closed my mouth. Now you're feeling foolish about it. Every 5 years, so to say, mentally you mature. You look back, you say, yeah, how I did those things, how I said those things. And I thought I looked smart that time, but the elders must have heard me and must have made dua, bichara, look at this boy now. Right? He's acting so clever, but if only he understands, then he doesn't really understand. So, a lot of things happen with understanding and maturity as you move on. So the Tani would say, Rahmatullah Ali, many things they couldn't fathom. But, you see, there was also another Sheikh, Ibn Taymiyyah, who the Arabs call Sheikh al-Islam. So, a lot of difference of opinion in regards to him, his ideologies, his thinking, etc. So, the Tani would say, Rahmatullah Ali, he said that Ibn Taymiyyah had more ilm, had more knowledge than intelligence. How you understand that now? Right. The person knows a lot of things. You find some people, they're very intelligent, but very queer also. Very strange. But what, how can we do things like this? This is an intelligent person. So in our own layman's terms, the other says, either he's two bob short or he's two bob extra. You get some guys, but you know it's two bob, right? 20 cents. Either he's a bit too much. Others says in a different way, either the screw is a bit loose or it's too tight. Too tight is a problem also. And loose also is a problem. So on that point, Hazrat says, we make shukr to Allah. Every morning we wake up, Allah Baal just tweaked it right. Our screws are not too tight and is not too loose. Allah Baal just got it right. And sometimes when you a little bit lose it also, I say, what happened to you today? What happened? I had a bad Monday blue, whatever they call it now. What happened to you all of a sudden? Woke up wrong side of the bed, as they say. So that's how much shukr you must make. We should understand things properly in the context, whatever it may be. So here, in the same way, Hazrat would say, Ibn Taymiyyah had more knowledge than brains. Now, sometimes you get students also, very sharp, but do queer things sometimes. But you know the masjid, they had or namaz like this, or that is, but he's doing. And some people, you just can't reason with them. So Khayyam Hazrat says, now many things now were in my brain, so I just file it in that cabinet, so to say, that which I didn't understand as yet. He says, as I moved on in Ruhaniyat and spirituality, this began to open up. Then I began understanding with maturity and Ruhaniyat, spirituality. That's why they say, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, we can imagine their level of spirituality, coupled with that was the ilm and the amal also. He says, now where we're going to challenge people like that now? What level they were, how they understood Sharia, and you know, the minds were pure, the hearts were pure, the amal was in accordance also. So he says, as I moved on in life, then I began to understand things. So from the Malfuzat, Hazrat Ali rahmatullah alayh, then you can understand how he understood things, and then those that came and took from his khulafa, how they break things down for our zaman and period of time. Alright? Like today's Malfuzat, we send out as a Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, about controlling the eyes. And now he puts in perspective about the car and the brakes. Right? And as the brakes, so once the brakes are gone, then how are you going to stop the car now? Now you saw it the first time, you didn't stop it. Second time, now the brakes will get weaker until you lose the brakes. And now you're gone, it's going to be head-on collision thereafter. So how our ulama break it down in this time? Now if they said these examples in that time when they were riding Volkswagens, they would understand all of this now, what breaks and the rest of it. So Hazrat says, in reality, these statements are for those treading the path of suluk. I take the opportunity of quoting some of them here. So among the first ones, he says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that actions are judged or based upon the intentions. This is the foundation of the tasawwuf, that all actions are based upon the intentions. As I always say, that Alhamdulillah, blessed with the Shaykh al-Kamil, complete Shaykh, and this a'mal based upon niyat. This morning we said it, make niyat for the day. Then you can see now where they got it from. They might not tell you the source of it, but with such force they will tell you, make niyat every day, make niyat. You gave for salah, so many niyats, Allah, I'm going to learn knowledge, I'm going to listen to Quran tilawat. Ya Allah, Quran has an effect on a person's body, has an effect on his mind, has an effect on his heart. I will just listen. But once you make the niyat, Ya Allah, this Quran must affect myself, affect my physical being. Then the Quran will affect you. Affect your nerves, your muscles, your intelligence, your eyes. Quran has that effect. Like they did a research in regards to water it was. Scientists now, they have all these apparatus that they use now. So they found that that water upon which Bismillah is read, you read Bismillah, they found the qualities of water changed to the barakat of the name of Allah, just by reading Bismillah. Then they researched Zamzam water also, how pure it is, that they still can't fathom how water has such purity in it. So just taking the name of Allah has such an effect on a person. So we have become accustomed to it now. As Hazrat says now, when we come for Salah, we got on our raincoat. We got on our raincoat. There's become ruhani, a spiritual proof. The Quran doesn't affect the heart. Like how you go to Niagara Falls, Hazrat says. And then you got to put on the raincoat so the splash of the water don't make you wet. He said, but if you really want to enjoy yourself, then you must take out that raincoat and let this fresh water come onto you. So in the same way, you go to Madinah Tayyibah, the tajalli of Allah that is falling upon the Mubarak Qabr of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is so much volume of water, that ruhaniyat, spirituality, nur of Allah, tajalli is falling, that Akabir say that every single atom that is found in Madinah Munawwara receives a drop of the tajalli. Even the things in the marketplace also, even they receive it, because they're all part of Madinah Sharif, they're all part within the haram area. Everything there is Mubarak. Everything says the haram things now, but everything else is Mubarak over there. So too in Salah also, if you're going to go there now with the phone still on vibrate and the mind is still out, you still got your raincoat on, there's waterproof or Ruhani proof. But the Quran will have an effect. So even if you don't understand it, and you go with the intention, Ya Allah, I'm going to get affected by the Quran Tilawat. The Quran Tilawat will affect you. But that tells us also, how many of us go for Salah? We can't remember Imam Sahib what he read also. Imam Sahib, really? What he read? We forgot already. So all actions are based on intentions. This is the foundation of the Tasawwuf. And I don't know whether you all saw, but one time we had it printed also. We had a Quran marker with the intentions for Quran Tilawat before we read. What 10 intentions they were there. What niyyah to make. Right? One is to look in Quran Sharif. One is to read the Kitab of Allah. Then to make door. To follow the Sunnah, to get closeness of Allah. Quran is a book of Hidayat, to get Hidayat. Is a book of Rahmat, to get the Rahmat of Allah. You make all these intentions. And then you receive it, because Hadith Sharif says that Amal are judged by the intention. So the Amal of Quran Tilawat, you're getting all of this now. Salah also, Ibn Kathir Rahimahullah in his Tafsir has mentioned a whole list of intentions when you give for Salah only. Alright? So you make all these intentions, you get the full barakat of it. So everything has a niyat. So no, this really demonstrates the spiritual ma'rifat of Hazrat Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi for having referred to إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. So he says, quoting Hadith Sahib, as the foundation of the tasawwuf, because this hadith is also the foundation of the pure Shariat. It is for this reason that the compiler of Mishkatul Masabi, a hadith kitab we do, the Darul Ulum, we teach the boys, commenced this book with this hadith. He then followed the hadith with the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, which combines Shariat, Tariqat, and Haqiqat. All these are words they use in Tasawwuf. Shariat, we know, the Wadeen, Quran, and Hadith. Tariqat refers to Tasawwuf. Then Haqiqat, the reality of things. So in these two hadiths, now you find everything. You'll find Shariat there, and you find Tariqat, Tasawwuf there. Like the famous part of Tasawwuf in Hadith of Jibreel is Mal Ihsan. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what is Ihsan? So Rasulullah wasalam answered, Ihsan, an ta'abudu Allah ka annaka tarahu, that you worship Allah as if you can see Him. Fa'in lam takun tarahu, so if you cannot see Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then remember Allah is still looking at you. Allah still looks at you. So what does it mean now to worship Allah as if you can see Allah? So here, commentators say it means, one of the interpretations is, that you, so remember to worship Allah. The hadith doesn't say to perform salah. Usually we only confine it to salah. But it refers to dhikr, Quran tilawat. That's what Hazrat is telling us. How we're reading Quran nowadays. You got the cell phone at the bottom. You're scrolling over there, we're reading Quran. You carry a Quran Sharif like that. You're talking to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Even your wife won't accept that. And now you're talking to her and you scroll, she asks you, you're talking to me or you're on the phone? You better keep it away. But Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, now you're scrolling there, we're reading also. Now I know this para, so I can carry on. You're talking to Allah. So Quran tilawah, zikrullah, nikah also is part of ibadat. Tijarat, ziraat, tijarat refers to business, ziraat, agriculture. All this make up ibadat. So Hadith Jibreel, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasallam gave the reply, to worship Allah. In all this, the way you must do your business, do your trade, nikah, everything, as if you can see Allah. So does it mean as if you can see Allah? It means that if you could see Allah, how would you carry yourself out? If you could see Allah, how would you carry yourself out? Then you should be so careful. You would tread very carefully. So all these things are found in these two hadiths. Hadith of Jibreel and the hadith of Innama al-Amalu bin Niyat. The author of Mirqat, Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi, states that the hadith and the discussion is like Bismillah. Innama al-Amalu bin Niyat is like Bismillah, you're starting off. While Hadith Jibreel is like Surah Al-Fatiha. Now understanding now, these are the foundational hadith for our spirituality. By quoting one after the other, the person reading this book must set right his intention through the hadith. Actions are judged by intentions. So you read the hadith already make all. And here subhanAllah Hazrat says that actions are judged by the intentions. In a very subtle point Hazrat mentioned here also, that one is to make the intention, and just as important is sincerity in the intention also. To be sincere in it. And then the fine point is, Hazrat will say, ikhlas and sincerity is intention, and just ikhlas itself also, is even more important than iman. Now, subhanAllah, iman is iman. But sincerity is greater than iman. Because to be non-sincere or insincere in iman is hypocrisy. So even in your intention of iman, there has to be sincerity that I truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and every command of Allah. So by reading this book, a person sets his intention through the hadith, actions are judged by intention. By reading Hadith Jibreel, the person must make efforts to acquire ihsan in addition to Islam and iman. Because the same hadith, the Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came into the masjid, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting, and he came and he looked like a local, because he was dressed up very neatly, his hair wasn't disheveled, his clothes was neat. Whereas if a traveler came into Medina Munawwara, you could make out of the traveler. He was disheveled, dust on his clothing, but here he was shining. So he walked into the masjid. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was in majlis, giving dars. Amal was taking place. So he came straight to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he sat right in front of him, so close, they say, فَأَسْنَدْ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ, that he joined his knees to the knees of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi. So in this way, he caught the attention of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Who is this man? This came in like this. And لا يُرَى عَلَيْهِ أَثَرُ السَّفَرُ, doesn't look like a traveler also. So many points ulama take out from here. The students that come to madrasa also must be neat, must be clean, according to sunnah, must be shining, or you come into an wahi. Don't come, there's this shovel. Boy going to Hibs class also, be fresh, be dressed well also, smelling good, because you come into learn Sharia and Deen. And the Ustaz also the same. Because that's the first da'wah now to win the hearts of people. So he came in, then he sat that way in that manner. Tashahud to tashahud, joined the knees. Then وَوَضَعَ كَفَّهِ عَلَى فَخِيرَيْ, then they say that he placed the hands upon the thighs of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he put his, so close he came. Sahaba Ikram said, what's happening here? One said that he placed his hands on his own thighs. Then he asked him questions. He said, Mal Islam, Mal Iman. So Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam replied every time. So from here, ulama, they take out the point of imtihan, examination. Exam was on right now. So from there, they say that today examination also is part of the sunnah. And then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam gave the answers, and Jibreel Amin, he gave the pass mark. What he will say, Sadaqta. You know, Muhammad, he spoke the truth. So Sahaba Ikram were amazed. That you asking, he is replying, and now you giving the tick also. They gave the answer, Islam, what is Iman, Sadaqta, he spoke the truth. Then he asked him, Mal Ihsan, what is Ihsan? Then he explained, worship Allah, Sadaqta. لأني عاش النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أبو القيامة من القيامة والكم أصحاب أي كرامة السنين. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام replied ما المسؤول عنها بعلم سائل. The person who is being asked isn't more knowledgeable than the questioner. I don't know, even you don't know. Then what's the signs? So among the signs, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said of Qiyamah, is that antalidal amatu rabbataha, that the slave girl will give birth to her master. Interpretation, that the parents now will become like slaves to the children. Sign of Qiyamah, where the children will call the shots. They throw tantrums, parents are afraid now. Children now, they will threaten the parents also. Parents have become like slaves now. Children become the boss. وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشمس رعاء الشهر. And then you will find that barefooted, unclothed shepherds, they will compete in putting up big, big buildings, skyscrapers. Dubai was what this was. They were farmers, they were fishermen. Signs of Qiyamah. Right? They hardly had shoes on, hardly any clothing. They were farmers, and now they're completely putting up large buildings. All these signs of Qiyamah. So that's Hadith Jibreel. Thereafter, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam left. Then, فَانْتَلَقَ مَلِيًّا ثُمَّ قَالَ يَا عُمَرْ أَتَدْرِي مَنِ سَائِلْ. So he just left. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam turned to Umar bin Khattab, who was there sitting in the majlis, in the dars. He says, do you know who that was? He says, no. It was Jibreel. Jibreel came to teach all your deen. But he was gone by then. It was Hadith Jibreel. So by reading Hadith Jibreel, so what should happen? Ihsan comes in the heart. That now to worship Allah in a condition that I can see Allah, I feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to Islam and Iman, Ihsan is the objective of the tasawwuf. This is the objective. To get so close to Allah that I don't forget Allah. Being busy, but I don't forget Allah. That's why they say there's two languages. What is the language that you speak? The language of the tongue. And what is the language of the heart? The language of the heart doesn't change. Language of the heart 24/7 is La ilaha illallah. That mustn't change. So you're busy now speaking, right? Rands, cents, dollars, this order, that order, dispatch, whatever it may be, patience and all. Always you're talking, it's all with the tongue, but they mustn't change the language of the heart. Language of the heart must not change till your last breath, and it can't change also. So this is where you're conditioned the heart with the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah is so important, we have to make it. Because see, the language of the tongue, then has to be according to the norm. Now if you're doing business, and somebody phone, you can't say la ilaha, are you talking now? So you got to talk dunya language, right, to fulfill your needs. But the language of the heart is still the same. Then you'll find even in the language, Hazrat says also when it comes to a person whose heart is connected to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and is making a dhikr, making his islah, then Hazrat says that even his dunya talk has noor in it. Even his dunya talk has noor in it. Because his heart is connected to, he's talking in dunya, but there'll be noor in it. And the other way Hazrat says, a person who's teaching knowledge, but the heart doesn't have dhikr in it. He says, even in his teaching of nurani things, there's darkness in it. And people won't benefit. Himself won't benefit. Compared to a person, a dhakir, whose heart is alive. The heart is alive, connected to Allah. So even in his speech of dunya, there's noor and there's barakat in it. Compared to a person now who's not connected to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but he just has knowledge only. And he's quoting. He's just quoting knowledge, hadith upon hadith. Hazrat gives an example also. He says now, so what a bayan Marana gave. What a bayan. And he spoke about the West, and all the fashion and all the style and everything. I said, but Marana, inside there your t-shirt is Nike and Reebok. It shows what's close to your heart. He's okay, you're not wearing it, but your son is wearing it. He says, how can that be? He says, it shows where the heart is. You still love that. You can't wear it now because you're Morana, because you're Tablighi, or you're Sufi. But now, my children was wearing it. They look nice with it. He says, if you have really deen, then you won't even stomach that also. You won't stomach that to the extent as it mentioned even to the extent Hazrat opens even the bedroom doors also. And he says, they also, my wife doesn't look like the woman of the West. And only when you dress like them, the filth and the dirt of how they dress, now you're looking attractive. He says, Mawlana Sahib, you can imagine now that how far you've gone. That when your wife dressed modestly within closed doors, she's not attractive. It shows how warped the mind has become. If you didn't even see all this filth of the West, even that would be enough for you to get you excited. But that one is bland. She was dressed like those loose women. Then she looks nice. It says, now you can gauge for yourself now how clean the heart is. How clean the heart and how tainted it has become because of all this filth that we introduced to. So therefore you have to clean it out. You have to clean us with the boundaries and borders, limitations and teachings also within closed doors. To what extent? We are taught by our Hazrat also. So because obviously our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us Sharia for within closed doors also. They were not free. We're not free in any aspect of life. Hazrat says, we don't have to borrow anything from them. We don't have to borrow anything, any ideologies, fashion, style. We don't have to. Nothing. The thing is that unfortunately, we grew up in this atheistic, secular environment. So we saw it. So it looked nice to us. We never see Sharia. We never experience that type of our environment. So those things are appealing to us. He said, now we don't even know what is Sharia teaching. Now even if you bring Sharia also, it looks bland to us. These buds are spoiled. The person sitting in hospital, he's sick, gastric flu, pneumonia, and mashallah, I brought a nice pot of biryani, zafran, everything in there. As you walk into the hospital, they say, hey, the Sulaiman didn't know how to make biryani. But when you give it now to the patient, they say, hey, something wrong with this food. Something wrong with the food. Something wrong with your taste buds. You're sick. Say, that's how sick we are. That even things in Sharia, we question, really? I want to say, so heavy. You don't have to get so heavy. But it's not heavy, that's light. That's light. The thing is now, because you've gone so far, so things that are supposed to be palatable, edible, and tasty, don't appear anymore. Doesn't feel nice anymore. So from there, we can gauge now that how sick the heart has become. That's why Hazrat said, we need ICU treatment. I see you, and you see me. Then Hazrat says, adopt the appearance of pious people. Hazrat Thani says, rahmatullah, quoting from Hazrat Hadith, adopt the appearance of pious people and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will set right your character and mannerisms, because Allah is the one who confers, who gives the most generous. Just appear like them, like the pious people. Now what is nowadays, we dressing like the pious people. But certain bad habits now, we don't want to let go of it. Unfortunately, we find, alhamdulillah, person got his sunnat beer, got topi, kurta, everything, but he can't give up the agarbatti. Now how is that going to gel now? Right? And now to make it, how to make it Sharia compliant, he take out his topi to make it halal now. Take out the topi so I can smoke it. How that works? You got the sunnah on you right now. It doesn't go together. So as I say, subhanallah, glory to Allah, what an easy prescription for the rectification of one's life. Why then does a person not willingly adopt the appearance of pious people? In other words, he ought to make his outer appearance in line with the sunnah and make this dua, O Allah, I have come to you while imitating your beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, I am imitating him outwardly. O Allah, I have come with the outer appearance, you turn into reality. You make it a reality. If a person does this and makes this dua, there's hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the original and real mentor, will certainly rectify the person's life. This, as Hakim Sahib rahimahullah would explain this in the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam when the magicians came. One tafsir, the day of Zina, they say 80,000 magicians came to compete with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But they came dressed like him, to mock at him. They came dressed like him to mock at him. So, as Hakim Sahib would say rahimahullah, Allah Ta'ala saw just the outer appearance, that he looked like my beloved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. On that Allah Ta'ala gave them hidayat. Not only hidayat, but from where they were kufr, Fir'aun said, I'll cut your hands and your feet from opposite sides. Then I'll crucify all of you. He said, be ready. New Muslim prepared to give his life up for his deen already. As I said, at this point also, many people come to the masjid. Over here, people staff sometime, right? He says, boss, I want to become Suleiman, become Muslim. So he said, you sure? So maybe I asked to be frightening him, by you sure you don't become Muslim? He says, okay, sit down. You really thought about it. You know, become Suleiman, eh? Then no puja, no tombi, no sisi, no this. They came all the don'ts you're giving him. Now you're not giving him da'wat. You're chasing him away. But now you put all of you sure that you're going to tandaza 5 times a day. You're going to be there, wake up in the morning. Then the holy month is coming. You can't eat the whole day after that. He said, you're not giving him da'wat, you're chasing him away. He said, call him. I make him read kalima same time. I said, don't tell him come tomorrow. Or come late in the afternoon. Same time, make him read kalima. You don't know when he's in a drop. Same time, make him read kalima. He said, inshallah, to the barakat of the kalima, the deen of Allah slowly will come into his heart. It will come. Make him, even if he's about tipsy also too. But he said, I want to become, make him read the kalima. At least he read the kalima. Inshallah, Allah will put it, the seed was planted in his heart. Don't scare him away. Don't chase him away. Tell him, think about it. He came. Make him Muslim same time. So a person now, so Musa alayhi salatu, some magicians, they did the same thing Allah Ta'ala gave them. Hidayat. Then Hazrat will say, they be with the creation externally. Be with the creation externally and with Allah internally. This is the language of the heart. So the language of the heart is a custom. That's why making a dhikr every day. Allah, that ha must come. As it says in Allah, that ha at the end actually is the ha of pain. I say, ah, I got hurt. Allah, Ya Allah, my heart is paining for you. Ya Allah, I want your muhabbat. So externally is with the creation and with Allah, Ta'ala is internally. If water gets into a ship, it will sink. If it remains out of the ship, it will be a means to save the ship. Allama Rumi rahmatullah alayh said, if water gets into a ship, it will cause the ship to sink. If the water is outside, it will give strength to the ship. In the same way, the love for wealth, children and other things must be kept distant from the heart because they come as obstacles. They come as obstacles. The example Hazrat gives also, where the father bought a new car and the son was playing outside. And the father came out of some time and he sees that young boy with a rusted nail walking around the car and he's pulling lines on the paintwork. Oh, the father lost his head. And he scratched the whole car, the youngster. He took that nail and he poked the boy's hand. And then infection spread, had to amputate. Boy came home and he said, Abba, we can buy a new car. He said, yes. Can I get a new hand? He said, no, I can't get a new hand. He said, the love of dunya was so strong in his heart. Went into a frenzy. This is my dream car. But the boy's hand was spared. So just our neighbors from last week, same thing happened there also. The young boy was, the granny came out from the house and she sees he got hold of a nail or something like that and he's practicing his alphabets on the car. Granny, that's what you're doing. He said, no, it was H, I think his name starts with an H. He said, no, I learned in school how to form the letter H. So I'm practicing on the car. The granny said, what I was studying now? Right, you're doing homework. They go work for the car. So in the same way, the love for wealth, children and other things must be kept distant from the heart because they come as obstacles. The heart must not be allowed to accommodate anything besides the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we always see, Hazrat taught us to. He says, the heart, don't give to any makhluk. Because the makhluk will break the heart. No makhluk has the human strength to keep the heart happy 24/7. It can be, we love your wife, we love your children, but they also don't have the capacity. You're also insan, right? No matter how much a person loves his children, they're not going to keep him happy all the time. The wife also, we can't do it. Makhluk can't keep makhluk happy 24/7 because they're naqis, they're deficient in every way. Only the one that created the heart knows what the heart needs to be happy. It is Allah. Allah knows, Allah made the heart. Now, you're not making even that effort now to get Allah in the heart, the one that created the heart, the one that manufactured it, the one that designed it. Only Allah knows what that heart needs to be happy, to be comfortable. So there can be a storm outside, but you got the creator of the heart within the heart, nothing will affect you. That's why you find our kabir, they're one mood. Their heart is just connected, everything can happen around them. But they're smiling, they got the istiqamah, the steadfastness, they got the salah, they got nothing deters them. Nothing at all. Because they got the connection with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. They gave the heart to Allah. So they say, the heart you give to Allah. What do you give? The creation. Wife, children. What do you give? Time, affection, and respect. Time, affection, and outwardly you show muhabbat. Yes, muhabbat is there. Naturally, you must love your wife, love your children also. Right? And the sign of that, you kiss them, you hug them, you hold them. Nabi Ali Salatu Salam also was kissing his grandchildren. Badun was there, Nabi of Allah. You kiss your children, grandchildren. He said, yes. I got 10 children or something like that. I don't even kiss them. Nabi of Allah said, what can I do for Allah Ta'ala has removed mercy from your heart. The sign of mercy to hold the children and kiss the children. That's so much now that the love comes in your heart. And now you're finished, can't live without them. So there's a fine line. Don't let them enter into the heart, creep and crawl into the heart. The heart is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Note, subhanallah, look at the beautiful manner in which he explained the reality of the world in so few words. The heart is not the place for the world. It's not the place. The heart is not the place for the world, dunya. It's only the place for Allah. In other words, it is permissible to keep one's money and wealth in one's pocket or in a safe. Subhanallah. But the heart must be kept totally pure of them. Ajib, I'm reading the Malfuzat the first time. And so I only can think of Hazrat's example that he gave us. All this he taught us. Ajib, subhanAllah. Hazrat is saying, it is permissible to keep one's money and wealth in one's pocket or in a safe, but the heart must be kept totally pure. And Hazrat gave the example. Years ago, we used to have checks. They had a checkbook. Hazrat says, you can have a 2 million rand check in your top pocket, but don't let 1 cent go into the heart. Keep it in the pocket. For the pocket is very close to the heart. So the 2 million rand check is only a check. So keep it checked also. You check, you stay in the heart. Don't jump in my heart. You stay in my pocket, don't jump in my heart. Say, keep it there. It says, keep it there. This is because the heart is the place for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. There must definitely not be any place for anything in the heart. Sometimes we speak about it, but now you see firsthand Al-Kabir, they're telling you, there's no place for anything else in the heart. It's only and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mawla Muhammad Ahmad, Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, explains this as follows. Neither should anyone find a way to it, nor should any outsider come to it. Talking about the heart. He says, neither should anyone find a way to it. No makhluk must find a way to your heart. Right? But you see our environment now has become so kharab. Children are young already and they introduce such things that come into their heart already. And they prepare now to fight to whatever extent to get what they want. There was an article years ago, the third parent. I don't know who's the third parent. Then they had third parent with a screen in the house. The screen. That the parent, the mother has to shout the child. If you're not going to put it off and come and eat, then. So the question was that the children in the home, who do they listen to more? The third parent? Or the first two parents. The first two parents have to fight with the third parent. So to say, fight with the children. If you don't put it off, come to eat, do homework, go and sleep. Now the kids are sleeping. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, cell phone. So who are they listening to? They don't have to talk to parents also. Right? Yeah. Last year also we went somewhere. We went to UK. So they also, one house we went to, they had a da'wat there. So the grandfather was there, and maybe an 11-year-old boy, I think. Nana, I want your cell phone. Nana, I want your cell phone. So he gave the cell phone. And this boy was so busy with the cell phone. So we're going to eat, and he's walking to the table with the cell phone. So Nana says, come and eat. I'm not hungry. And not even looking up also. I'm not hungry. So you have to eat. I'm not hungry. He's still playing. Just sit down here. So he sat down. They give me the cell phone. He said, no, I'm busy, I'm playing still. So grandfather went to grab from him. He put it this side. Grandfather went to grab it, he put it that side. I said, ya Allah, he's making the old man hop for this thing. The grandfather actually hopping to grab the phone from this youngster. I said, lucky not South Africa. Here we call it a 5 bob. Not a 2 bob, you'll get one. 5 bob. Can't hit over there. Grandfather, you'll phone the police. Finally, grandfather took it from him. Now he's sitting at the table. They said, across the youngster. He said, what do you like to eat? He said, I'm not hungry. The grandmother dished out for him some chicken. I saw somebody eating so fast, with two hands. With two hands, the boy finished it. Can I have the phone again? Can I have the phone? Then he gave it to him. I said, what a life this is. There's no work in our country, Allah shukar. But they're not, they can't do anything. And granddad, in the 10 minutes time, he dropped me for ball, 9 o'clock in the evening. All right. There's a barakah of being in a safe country. All right. Playing ball at 9 o'clock. So in a way, Allah shukar, this insecurity has worked for us. It keeps us indoors to a certain extent and kept the families together. Otherwise, the kids will be all over playing bicycle outside. And you got no control after that. No control whatsoever. Shops will be open at this time. The children are playing ice cream, this, that. So in a way, now it worked for us and it kept the families together. So Ajib, they can't tell the kids anything whatsoever. Can't tell them anything. And the same house also, one of the girls of that house is teaching in a kindergarten or preschool, wherever it was. So she says, now we can't even question the kids and anything about the parents also. Everything is about your rights. One kid comes with two fathers. Comes with two fathers. So other kids are asking, where's your mother? So he says, no, I have two parents. Don't call him father also. I have a set of parents. We call him parents now. Not even mother and father anymore. Like before, we should have chairman. They became chairperson. Because it's a discrimination. Why are you saying a chairman, chairman? Say chairwoman. So they neutralize all the vocab also. You see? So in this way, this is how they play with the person's mind. So what are you speaking about? There's a third parent, the cell phone. I can see. Alright, now even when you go sometime, you see parents when they bring the children for breakfast at the hotels too. How they keep them quiet? Give them the tab. Nobody's talking. Maybe the adults are talking, but the kids are all busy. And they don't even eat food too now. They don't even eat food anymore. They're addicted to it. Right now in America, if you don't know, they got special therapy now for screen addiction. For screen addiction. Right. Some time ago, I read an article also about one person. They interviewed, I think his wife it was. This guy, he had a simulator. Right? Simulator where I think you sit in it or something. You got a big screen over there playing some game or something like that. Sometimes he sits in there almost a week. Doesn't come out from there. So they built in his room. So they asked his wife, it's really screen addiction now. That how does he live then? And how come you're still living with him? She's got one child. Everything's online. All his pizzas online is delivered. He sits there, he eats there, finish. Does his business on one screen, I think he's got the other screen, he's playing his game. So he went for some therapy, I think. So 3 days he lasted without a screen for 3 days. Then he got withdrawal symptoms, went into depression. Because on that game, whatever he was playing, it was an international. I think you play internationally throughout the world, all players, and they have whatever nicknames, etc. So he was like the Don. Alright, so when he went back after 3 days, I think on live on screen, they're throwing like roses for him and bouquets and like you're back. So the thrill is like a drug that I'm back. So when he goes off it, he's like, same thing I think they say with the other games children are playing now. Right? If you get out of something, so you go run 2 hours till nothing, you get more coins or more power. But the kid is sitting in the huge class, but his mind is working in 2 hours' time. We knew Mario Bros, for example, right? Yeah. Not that I played it, but we heard about it. You get knocked out or conked out or something. He might get some power after some time, whatever it is now. So nowadays, they have all games. So the guy is waiting now to get back home to see that my man is alive. Or I don't know how the thing works now. So they got like a drug in them. So you see the parents now, as it seems to, you see the schools have become the mental raping grounds of children. Mentally, they rape their brains. Belongs to us. You're just a parent only. Your job now is to feed them, fatten them, clothe them, but their heart and their mind belongs to us. Heart and mind belong to us. That's what they've done right now. Allah Ta'ala give us hidayah to understand, inshallah. But internationally, you'll find that there is a move right now away from this whole